Good to see you here this morning. You having a good Sunday morning so far? All right. I'm going to tell you one way to let the preacher know if you're really having a good Sunday. It isn't by saying, yeah. It's by saying, yeah. No, come on, come on. You know, sometimes, I know this is hard to understand, but so many times, if you will help me preach a message, amen? By saying amen, by saying glory to God, whatever you want to say, it brings more out of me. So if you want more, talk loud. If you want to go home early, it's too bad, okay? Okay. All right. When I was asking the Lord as to what I should preach this morning, I really had kind of a hard time because I had a message prepared already from last week, but it just didn't seem like it fit today. So I guess if you look at what I was preaching last Sunday, the truth is we all go through battles. Amen? Amen? We all go through battles. It doesn't matter, you know, some of them are big, some of them aren't so big, but they're still battles. And in the presence of battles, there is a lack of peace. Amen? Amen. Okay. And peace is really what all of us want. So I just want you to know this morning that we have a peace-giving God, and you should shout about that this morning. We have a peace-giving God who will fight the battle for you, if you'll let him. Amen? Amen? The title of the message this morning is Don't Break During the Battle, okay? So say that with me. Don't break during the battle. Now we're going to say it all at once. Don't break during the battle. All right. Now, this is my favorite part of the whole sermon. Would you stand with me, please? I feel much power when I can do that, you know? Just stand. Boy, that's so good. We're gonna say our Bible declaration in just a moment. And I want you this time to just say it like you believe it. Amen? Like you're telling someone what you believe about the Bible, what you believe is going to happen today, okay? Because, you know, as much as you expect, say expect. Expect. As much as you expect, you're going to get. If you come in here and you don't expect anything, you can just can't hardly wait until the time to get out of this place and go home. You know, I can't wait to get out of here today. I get to go on vacation today. Glory to God, okay? Yeah, I knew you'd be excited about that. But today, when we say, you know, this is my Bible, it's not a sad thing. Are you with me? So when you say this, just humor me today. Make this vacation of mine one that you're going to send me off on, just really believing that you guys are just into it. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Now take your Bible in your right or left hand. I don't care which. Hold it towards heaven and repeat with me. All right. Are you ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I can do. Hey. Yeah. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. About to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. I believe it and I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. That was good. That was good. You may be seated. You may be seated. Don't break during the battle. Today, I just want to talk with you about something that we all come face to face with. Sometimes, well, in fact, many times we really do, okay, during our Christian journey. How many of you know that the Christian walk is more like a journey than anything else? There are times that the journey can be joyous, okay, we can find joy in the journey. And sometimes that journey can be a troublesome trip. How many of you know what I mean this morning? Amen? And there are times when we can rejoice in our victories, okay? But there are also times that we seem to be able to sorrow in our sufferings, okay? Sometimes, even though we win, it doesn't feel much like we really won. Are you with me? But please understand something this morning. It's not that I'm trying to speak negatively about our faith, because there's nothing greater than our faith, amen? Nothing more wonderful than to believe in Jesus and to live life that you see is lived in the Bible. You know, I'm not trying to be negative about our journey, okay? But to be really be truthful about our trip with you, okay? Truthful about our trip. And again, the title of the message this morning is Don't Break During the Battle, okay? Why don't you say that with me? Don't break during the battle. And I have a few questions for you to think about as we get started this morning. So here we go. Can you think of a time when you went through something that was so difficult, so hard, that you didn't think that you were going to make it to the other side? Yeah. When you think of others who are going through difficult days right now, because there's somebody in this congregation right now that's going through a hard time, okay? Possibly many people are going through a hard time. What would you tell them? You know, what would you tell them to get them past those difficult days? And lastly, what was it that took you through these tough times yourself? And did God have anything to do with you making it through? And again, did God have anything to do with making you through? Please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we will read verses 8 through 11 as we get started here. Tell me when you get there. All right. We find Paul writing here in the first 7 verses of his letter, trying to convey to the Corinthian church how important it is that we admit to the struggles that we have in this life to each other, that we tell each other about them, so that we can encourage each other with the comfort that Christ has comforted us with. We know this is what he's referring to by what he writes in the next number of verses. So starting at verse 8, 1 Corinthians verse 8, let's begin reading there. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure above strength, so that we despaired even of life. That's quite a statement, isn't it? It was so bad that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that we still in that we trust that he still will deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on behalf for the gift granted to us through many. Gary Timmer, why don't you come up a minute and just pray for the message.
Father, thank you that we can join today, God, in your name, Lord, in your presence. Father, we thank you for Pastor West, God. We thank you that he is a man that seeks after you, Lord, that he listens, God, and Father, he hears, Lord, and then he delivers. Father, I thank you that the word today, God, is just that, Lord. It's the word for today. God, I pray that we would just grab hold of it. God, I thank you that it's going to set us free, Lord. Father, it's going to be just what we need for today. God, just what we need for today. We thank you, Lord. Father, help us to respond today, God, and just with energy, Lord. Father, with power. And just change us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Gary.
You are welcome.
Thank you, then, welcome. Okay. Last week we talked about faithful is he who has promised, right, and who will do. And that doesn't change, but everyone, and I mean everyone, say everyone, it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're super spiritual, whether you read your Bible every single day, day and night. It doesn't even matter if you practice the religious routines of worshiping and memorizing and reading and prayer. And even if you pray harder and longer than anybody else. Or you go to church every time the doors are open, which is a good idea, by the way. That is a good idea. And it doesn't change even, now get this one, even if you have a great relationship with Jesus, everyone, say everyone, has to endure stresses and go through messes, okay? That's just the way life is. We're going to endure all the stresses and go through the messes at some point in our life. And it sometimes seems like when you think maybe you're getting along real good right now, it's just about that time that something else comes along. Amen? I mean, everyone. Why don't you turn to the person sitting next to you and just say, I'm not the only one. Okay, now you can turn next to each other and say, it's not me. All right. I know you've heard it before, and maybe you even get tired of hearing it, but the truth is this. In John 16:33, Jesus tells his disciples, and he's speaking to you and I as well. He says this, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Okay, so if you're in Jesus, you can have what?
Peace.
He says, in the world you will have tribulation, but he gives us this promise, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Amen. I have overcome the world. In other words, no matter the struggle, no matter what the stress is, I am with you through the messes. Are you with me? That no matter what you're going through, no matter what's facing you today, and no matter what's going to face you tomorrow, I am always with you, whether it's good or whether it's bad. And that should make you clap this morning. That should get you excited this morning, that you might go through hard times, but Jesus sticks with you.
Amen?
Amen? He sticks with you. You might not think you're going to make it. And I know there's been many times that I've gone through things that I've thought, man, I'm just not going to make this. And I'm not just talking about just the physical things that we go through life, but there's times when you just don't think that you're going to make it. Amen? But with his presence, he will cause you to prevail. Okay? It may not even appear like you're winning the battle, like I was talking before, but winning is within your reach because his help is always within your reach. And I think you have to remember that sometimes, and I get the next statement here is, praise the Lord, you know what, it's time to be a happy Christian. You know what? It's time to be a happy Christian. It's time to be excited about who you serve and excited about the promise that he has given to you and I so that we don't just mope around. You are not going to win anybody to Jesus by moping around. In fact, when I see people that mope around, I kind of want to go the other direction because I don't want to be taken down. And I don't think people look at us any different when we act that way. Anyway, it's time to be a happy Christian. The list of people that struggle is one of those all-inclusive lists, meaning it includes everybody, even the Apostle Paul. And you might say, well, how could Paul be on that list? I mean, he was perfect. Look at him. He was the apostle of apostles, a Pharisee of Pharisees. Seriously, he was among the super spiritual, right? Paul. You know, could he really have trouble? Yes, he could. You know why? Because trials, tests, temptation, and trouble are no respecter of persons. Are you with me? No respecter of persons. They don't care who you are. They don't care that you're super spiritual. They don't care that you're all these things. They don't care who you are. I guess you could say the only good thing about the messes that life brings us is this, that life's messes seem to mature us. Okay? Now just think about some of the things that you've been through and how you've come out on the other side of those things. And usually, most likely, you've matured in that mess. Amen? And hopefully, you won't go through the same mess again. And probably most of all, when it comes to those challenges have a way of changing us into champions. Amen? No, you're not hearing me this morning. You see, you might go through trouble, but on the other side of trouble is joy. Amen?
Amen.
You might go through trouble, and it's so difficult, you don't know how you're going to get through it. But on the other side of it is victory. Amen. If you just stick to what you know you should be doing, please hear me. I'm not saying that God ever brings those hardships into your life. I'm not saying he's the author of that, but he works them for good because we all know that. Now say this with me. Is it up there? Romans 8:28. Say it with me. And we know that all things, say all things, all things. Start again. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Glory to God. And you have to know something this morning. His purpose in your life will always perfect you. Amen? Maybe you can't see why you're going through some things, and though he doesn't author it, he turns it around, but you still don't understand why you're going through it, but his purpose is to perfect you. Let's look at some of the hardships and messes that Paul endured during his life as we look at our text this morning, okay? So let's just read it again, okay? He said, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead." Notice the first part of verse 8 where Paul says, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble," okay, "of our trouble which came to us in Asia." The word trouble right here is this Greek word that's kind of strange. It's the Greek word thlipsis, okay, which is used to convey the idea of a very heavy pressure situation. We've talked about this word before in other sermons, but it's a heavy pressure situation. In fact, at one time, this word was used to give us this picture, if you will, of a victim who was tied up with a rope and then positioned on their back, only to have a huge, heavy boulder slowly lowered on top of them until they were crushed. Quite a picture, isn't it? Okay? But that's what Paul was going through. I don't know about you, okay? I can't speak for you, but sometimes the trials that I go through can feel like that. Can feel like everything is coming in around you. Can feel like there's a big weight on your shoulders, and there just doesn't seem to be any way out of it. We feel like we're in a tight place and under this heavy burden, and it feels like we are literally having the life pressed out of us. Am I alone here this morning? I mean, do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever been in that situation? I'm going to tell you this. If you have not been in that situation, glory to God, you will be. Okay? Bad news, right? No, it's not bad news. It really isn't. But how many of you know what I'm talking about this morning? And for some reason, that trouble, that thing that's bothering us, we can't let it go, you know, and when we go to sleep, we're thinking about this trouble, and when we wake up, the first thing that we think is about the trouble, if you've been there. I mean, it could be emotional trouble, or it could be physical trouble, or maybe the doctors have given you a negative report that just changes your whole life plans. It could be that you're having financial trouble, or maybe relational trouble, or it could even be spiritual struggles. But by Paul using this word thlipsis, what he is telling us is this, that he and his people were under this unbearably heavy load. You know, to me, that's I shouldn't say that's good news, but it's good to understand that he could be under that kind of a load, because if I could be under that kind of load and he could be under that kind of load, I'm in good company. Amen? Amen. What he was basically saying was we were in a very tight and terrible circumstances, and our minds were being squeezed. In fact, it felt like our lives were being pushed right out of us. And you might think Paul is referring only to physical suffering here, but how many of you know that physical suffering, you know, those sufferings are different and they're difficult, but mental suffering can be debilitating, truly, because it's always with you. I want you to know this morning that the greatest suffering seems to be in the mind. You know, why? Because, you know, physical pain, yeah, you can take a pain pill, you can get over that, you know, but I'm going to tell you something. Emotional suffering can't be escaped. And we have to work through it. We have to do it. We have to take care of it. A person can live with pain in their body as long as their mind is under control, okay? But if they can't control their mind, but when the suffering begins to work on your mind, both your body and your mind get affected. It really does. And Paul's greatest sufferings were not physical, all right? They were mental and they were emotional, and many times they were spiritual. That's why he goes on to say in verse 8 that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. This morning, I want to look at that verse, the first thing that he says right there, and I want to take it apart. I mean, to think of that he said, so that we despaired even of life. I mean, what a statement. What a statement. This is a Greek word. Now, this is a hard one to say, but I'm going to try, okay? It's kath huperbalie. And it's extremely important that we understand what he's trying to say here for us to understand what his testimony is entailed. It literally means to throw beyond, to excel, and to exceed, or to go beyond anything normal or beyond anything that you would have expected. It also describes something that is overly excessive and beyond normal range of what most people would ever experience in their life. And by using this word, Paul says, we are under an abnormal and excessive amount of pressure. Paul, how could that be Paul? Paul prayed all the time, right? Paul, man, he just had it together. He knew what to do. He knew what pleased God. How could Paul be going through this kind of a thing? But he was. In fact, it was far beyond anything, and he says this, that we had ever experienced previously or thought we could experience. By using that word, he's saying that. It was excessive. It was unbearable. It was unbelievable. It was unexplainable. And it was far too much for any one human being to endure. How many of you know when it is unexplainable? I should just say it like this, because my wife says this, and it's so good. You know, when something is unexplainable, and when your situation just doesn't make sense, it's the devil. Okay? It's not the neighbor down the street. It's the devil, okay? Only the devil could know the right thing and the right way to get at you. And that's what he does, okay? It's the devil. And Paul was under attack, just like many times we suffer attacks. Paul goes on to tell us that this pressure was above anyone's strength. This word above is also very important. It's the word hooper, which always conveys the idea of something that's excessive. I mean, it's more than enough. I probably shouldn't say this, but with the stuff that I've experienced in the last year, you know, I found myself lately saying to God, you know, it's enough. All right, this is enough. I've had enough of the garbage and not feeling good. I'm having enough. I'm just sick and tired of it. Can't you please? And I know that he can, and I know that he will. And then I say I'm sorry for being so doubtful. But you find yourself getting to the end of your rope. And I think Paul was at that place as well. So in order to explain how bad his situation was, Paul was piling words on top of words on top of words in an effort to accurately describe how bad the ordeal in Asia was for him and those that were with him. It's almost as though Paul was saying something like this. You know, normal human strength would never have been sufficient for this situation. The strength it required was far beyond any human means. And in fact, this predicament requires strength in a measure I had never needed before this time. Have you ever found yourself in a place like that where it's, God, I need you, and I need you right now? Amen? The only one that has the answer is going to be you, so God, just help me right now. And what Paul was really saying is the battle was beyond me. And so many times the battles that we go through, they are beyond us. And we have to turn to the Lord, and we have to go to him. Does it make any sense that we get help? No, it doesn't, and we don't even have to earn it. He's just there, and he just does, amen? When Paul says this, so that we despaired even of life, the Greek word for despaired is a long one, okay? Okay. But it's where we get the word exasperated. And it describes people who feel trapped or caught. They feel like they're up against the wall and pinned down, and like they're utterly hopeless. The word is used to describe a situation that there is no way out of. Okay? And I don't know if I'm talking to anybody this morning, but you know, I have been in situations that I've put myself in that there is just no good way out of those situations. You've done something you shouldn't have done. You said something you shouldn't have said. You've just blown it, you know, and there's just no good way out of the situation. But really, that's just what the devil likes to do to you and I. When we're going through a trial or a test, He likes to make you think that there is absolutely no way out. You see, you're stuck. You're in stress. The door of deliverance is absolutely closed. There's no reason for you to try. God is sick of you. Amen? Come on. Come on. You're trapped in your torment. God doesn't care, nor is he concerned at all with what you're going through. You're alone and you're in agony, and you know what? It is your fault. Has anybody ever heard those words? You know, it is your fault. But I want you to know this morning, and this is something we just have to realize and accept by faith. God does care. Amen? God does care about your situation, no matter how big or how small. Now listen to Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 out of the Amplified Translation of the Bible. And this is so good. It says this, "For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you. Nor give you up, nor leave you without support." And then he says this, and it's written like this because it's stressed so much in the Greek, okay? He says, "I will not, I will not, I will not." Glory to God. I don't think he's going to do it, you know? "Not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, nor relax my hold upon you. Assuredly not." Glory to God. I mean, if there's any single verse in the Bible that should give you all kinds of hope, it should be this one. I mean, it's not going to happen. He's not going to leave. He's not going to walk out. He's not like people. He's not going to get fed up. He's going to stay there. He's going to be with you. He's going to go through it with you. And he's going to make sure you come out on the other side of it just exactly better than you were when you went in. Amen? He can take a situation that looks so black, and in the end, suddenly you realize it's so white, it's so good. I mean, give God praise this morning. Just give him some praise. He can turn your situation completely around. I don't care where you are, what you're doing, what you're saying, or what you have said, or what you've gone through. He can turn it around. Glory to God. Then Paul continues in verse 9. And he says that, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. The word sentence is the Greek word which in this context, speaks of a final verdict, okay? What Paul is saying is this. It looked to us like the verdict was in. It looked to us like the verdict was in, and we were not going to survive. We weren't going to make it. That's the way. Have you ever been there? I keep asking you that. But I want you to take this personally and understand that all those hard times that you went through, you weren't alone. All those times when you felt alone, you really weren't alone. But he was at a place, this super apostle, okay, where, you know what? Looks like we ain't going to survive. That's it. Real man of faith, right? Real man of faith. See, when all these different phrases and words are looked up and put together, it becomes very plain what Paul's primary pain at this time, what he had, it was a mental pain or an emotional pain and not just a physical pain. He's describing mental pressure on a scale that few of us have ever experienced. And because of all these Greek words, okay, because of all these Greek words, the following could be taken as an interpretation or a translation of these verses. I'm not rewriting the Bible, okay? I'm just over-amplifying the amplified text, all right? All right. Paul said this, "We would not, brethren, have you ignorant of the horribly tight, life-threatening squeeze that came to us in Asia. It was unbelievable. With all the things that we have been through, this was the worst of them all. It felt like our lives were being crushed. It was so difficult that I didn't know what to do." Paul, he didn't know what to do? That's what he says. "I didn't know what to do. No experience I've ever been through required so much of me. In fact, I didn't even have enough strength to cope with it. Toward the end of this ordeal, I was so overwhelmed that I didn't think we would ever get out. I felt suffocated and trapped and pinned against the wall. I really thought it was the end of the road for us. As far as we were concerned, the verdict was in, and the verdict said death. But really, this was no shock, no great shock, because we were already feeling the effect of death and depression in our souls. Have you ever felt the effects of death and depression in your soul? Do you realize what that really is? That describes so much of what we go through, and I'm sorry, again, emotionally and mentally. And many times, many times, that thing that we go through ends up being something that is of our own making, and that maybe even the worrying about it is of our own making, okay? Paul never really tells us exactly what happened to him and his team when they were in Asia, okay? I said Asia before, I'm sorry, Asia, okay. But he never told us what it was. But whatever it was the most grueling experience that they had ever gone through so far in his life or their life. So you might ask the question, why would Paul want us to know what he had been through and that he'd been through such difficult times? And why was it so important that he shared this with us? Did he want us to feel sorry for him? You know, that wasn't Paul. Paul wasn't a, hey, feel sorry for him type of guy. Okay, I can tell you that for sure. But I do know this. He wanted you and I to know that everyone, say everyone, that everyone enters and endures tribulation from time to time. I don't care who you are, even the greatest well-known spiritual leaders and the spiritual giants of our time get faced with situations that could squeeze the life out of them. And the truth is, you know, the truth is, there's only one place to go, and that's to God, okay? And that's to him. But one of the greatest reasons, I think, why the Holy Spirit included this in the Holy Scriptures is he wanted you to know, and I'm up here under the spot where the glory's coming out, okay? Because it's so important for us to know that we are not alone. Amen? We are not alone. You are not alone in the flesh. You're not alone in the spirit. You're just not alone. You see, even with all his knowledge, okay, even with all the revelations that Paul had been given by the Lord himself, Paul was still attacked by the devil. And I don't care what you do. I don't care how much you fast, how much you pray, how much you witness, how much you go to church, which is a good thing, by the way. I don't care how much you live your life out. You are going to be attacked by the devil. Oh, the devil, he's a defeated foe. We don't even have, no, you are going to be attacked by the devil. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, okay? You know, so put on the whole armor of God. Get it on. Get ready for a fight. You know, this journey that we're on is sometimes more like a fight. Amen? But there's one thing about our fights, a Christian fight. We know how it ends. Amen? You get people that go to war, and unfortunately, they're killed in war, and terrible things happen. But we know at the end of our struggle, we have victory. This particular assault, okay, that Paul was going through was so aggressive that he said we despaired even of life. But you know what? Paul didn't break during the battle. He didn't. I don't know what you might be going through this morning. I know the stuff that I'm going through this morning, and that's enough, okay? So I don't know what you're going through this morning, okay? But if you will hold on, say, I want to hold on. Okay, I'll start that again. But if you'll hold on, say, I want to hold on. And if you will trust in his promises, you won't break during the battle either. And I mean, if there's one thing that I pray for all of you every day, and it may not be these words, but now it will be, and that is that you don't break during the battle. Because if you come out on a battle on the other side of a victorious, you know what? You can become a champion. You can become a victor instead of someone that's defeated. And just like Paul, you'll win the victory. Then you'll be able to say what is written in 2 Corinthians 1, 9, and 10, that what happened to you happened in order that you would not trust in yourself. You ever think about that? I just went through some really terrible stuff. Could it be that I was taught in that I should not trust myself? but in God who raises the dead, in God who has all the power. Come on. In God that can do anything, who delivered me from so great a death and whom I trust that he will still deliver me. We have to remember these things. When we're in the middle of these struggles and these fights and this trouble, it's just like, oh Lord, what am I going to do? I just don't know what to do. Remember this, okay? He has rescued you in the past. Come on. He has rescued you in the past. He will rescue you in the present. That's today, right now, no matter what you're going through. And he will rescue you in the future. Glory to God. He'll rescue us in the future. Amen. He is just this. He's a rescuing God who loves you and cares for you more than you will ever, 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 ever understand. You know how much you love your wife? You know how much you love your kids? That, and I don't know how this can be. Here we go again. God loves you more than that. All right? God loves you more than that. God is always on your side. Okay? God is always there to help you. God has said in his word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will not, I will not, I will not. You think he's trying to make a point? I will not leave you. And that's what I have to say to you today. And I don't know, again, I don't have any idea what you might be going through today, but I'm going to tell you one thing. He's rescued you in the past. He's rescued, and he can rescue you, excuse me, in the present. And he will rescue you in the future. Amen? Why don't you stand with me? Just give him praise a minute. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You can give him praise out loud. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you. I've got a declaration for you to say today if you would like to say it with me. So I'm going to say the declaration, and if you would just repeat it after me. Amen? I declare, I am not alone. Not in the flesh, and especially not in the spirit. I declare, he has rescued me in the past. He will rescue me today. And he will rescue me tomorrow. Two more. I declare. I will not trust in myself. I will trust in my Savior. I declare. And you need to declare this before time, okay? I declare. I will not break during the battle. Again, with me, please. I declare I will not break during the battle. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Why don't you bow your heads with me just for a moment, please? God, none of us likes battles. None of us likes to go through the fights and the struggles and the trouble that we run into in this life. That's either caused by us or it can be caused by other people or the devil himself. But God, we thank you so much that we are not alone. Whether it's a trouble that's our own fault, we're not alone. Whether it's trouble that someone else has caused, you don't leave us alone. God, you always show us a solution. And God, on the other side of the challenge, we become champions. And we thank you for that. Thank you, God, that we become mature through the messes that we go through. And God, I pray for whoever it is today that is going through something. I pray right now that you would just give the grace, Lord, and give the answer, God. The answer doesn't have to make sense to them, but just give them the answer. And God, I pray that they would just believe in you, have faith in you, have trust in you. There's one thing for sure. We can't trust ourselves, but God, we can trust you. And we give you all the praise for that. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.